I'm Lieutenant Joe Pangaro. I've been a cop for 27 years. I like to say I got a backstage pass to life. Well, guess what? I got some tickets for you. So come on in, pull up a chair, turn up that volume, and let's go. Chasing Justice is on.
Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Chasing Justice. I'm your host, Lieutenant Joe Pangaro, and as always, thrilled to be here. Today, I have the lovely, the brilliant, the inimitable. I don't even know what that word means, but it just sounds like she is inimitable. Miss Kathy Pangaro, my bride. Kathy, how are you?
Good.
I'd like to have you on here because it's a fun conversation we have.
We'll see.
Our world is a strange place. We have a lot going on. The election is getting closer and closer. We see the apocalypse could be any day springing out. You know, as soon as we hear about zombies, we're ready to go. It's something that our world is going to change one way or another. Now, if you look at the platform, the AmericaOutLoud.com platform, you'll find an article that I wrote recently that was just put up there called the 4th of November. And basically in that article, I'm talking about, you know, what's it going to be like that morning when we wake up? If we know the night before that Trump or Biden won overwhelming victory. You know, right now the polls are saying that Biden is supposed to win, not just win the election. He's going to win it overwhelmingly. He's up by 10 or 11 points everywhere, including the battleground states. So it should be a wash. I mean, he should get 50 states and wipe Trump out, and something all of us can go, well, I guess that's what the people wanted, and that'll be the end of that. Or it can go the other way, and it can be Trump, a landslide, or even a small victory. The problem with a small victory is we're not going to know that for quite a while, because it's going to be recounting the votes, recounting the ballots, recounting the election. Then it's going to go to courts. Then it's going to be challenged. Then they're going to challenge all the votes. It's going to be quite a mess this year's election, unless it's an outrageous win for one side or the other. So, Kathleen, we were talking about, we watched the most recent vice presidential debate. And it was something that, you know, vice presidential debates really don't change the outcome of the presidential election normally. This one, though, had a little bit of impact, I think, on people, because you realize Joe Biden is 78 and he does have some problems. If it turns out that he cannot maintain what he's doing, then she's going to be the president of the United States. And she is the most liberal member of the Senate. So what did you think? What was your impressions of Kamala Harris seeing her in the debate? How did you think she performance was?
Well, I have to say, I think it was probably my very first vice presidential debate I ever watched. That's how little they mean to me. Mm-hmm. Right? I care about the president.
Right.
But this one I had to watch. I wanted to see what she was like. I don't know anything about her, really. And I wanted to see what she was like. So, I think she's attractive. So I saw that coming out. I think she had a good approach. I liked her, you know, her body,
her persona.
I thought that was good. Mm-hmm. As soon as she opened her mouth and said, "I'm speaking," however she said it, it was the most annoying sound.
And Vice President, I'm speaking now.
I'm speaking now. Yes, I'm speaking. I just was like, oh my God, this will be our president? Because I was looking at who this one is going to be our president. It's against really her and Trump.
Yeah.
We happen to be fighting the battle against Biden because the uninformed think Biden is going to be their president. We should be saying this is Trump versus Kamala, right? Trump versus Harris. Anyway, she was annoying. You pointed out how her body language changed as she was lying. I mean, I knew she was lying. I'm going, what is she saying? You're going, look. She even knows she's lying. See how her body's changing, how her voice is changing.
Right.
So I didn't like the lie. Up against Pence, I thought he certainly handled himself better. I hated her smirk over the fly on his head. I hated that.
Yeah, that was unfortunate, the fly on his head. I mean,
but
I'm looking
smirk,
at it.
Her smirk was even worse than his fly.
She could have come across so what? Now, first of all, she's an accomplished woman. There's no question about it. People make fun of her because they say her relationship with Willie Brown got her actually started when she was a young girl, 29. He was in his 60s and married, and she had an affair with him, apparently, and that launched her career. And no doubt that probably helped her career. But I think you don't go to the level that she went to as a, you know, the Attorney General of the state of California, she brought up a good point. She is an accomplished person. And you're right, as a human being, she was an attractive person. You know, you didn't look at her and you weren't put off by her. She wasn't, you know, bobbling the way Joe Biden bobbles, and she's not saying nasty things initially like, you know, people are upset with Trump. But her body language, you're absolutely right. You know, one of the things that I've done my whole career is identify when people are lying, deception. And it was pretty clear when she started to lie, her voice would change. She physically moved back in the chair. That's separating yourself from the people you're lying to. That's what that actually is.
The plexiglass wasn't enough.
Yeah. The plexiglass wasn't enough to help them. Now, that was absurd, too, wasn't it? They had two pieces of plexiglass that the germs, I guess, couldn't go over the top of that or go around it. What was that all about? As a woman, though, did you feel connected to Kamala because she's a woman? Oh my God, how great it is. She's a woman, could be the vice president, and maybe the president.
I think really I was embarrassed that this is the best womankind has to offer is this person.
Mm-hmm.
This is the best. We are so dumb as women that we will vote just because of a body part and not the content of what she's going to do and what her agenda is. Right. And I was not impressed by that at all. I wasn't impressed by Hillary. I wasn't impressed by some of the others that have been, what was that other woman's name? With Mondale. Was she with Mondale?
Oh, yeah. She's from New York. I can't even remember her. That was years ago. But you're right.
Right.
Now, she was a nice enough, all of them are nice enough people.
Well, I don't know about that.
But there are male candidates that I reject out of hand also because I just don't think they have the wherewithal to be president or vice president.
I don't want their agenda.
And I don't want their agenda. Kathy, that's exactly what it comes down to. It's their agenda that's the problem. What is it that they stand for? You know, we talk about this all the time. Obama seemed like a good father and a good husband. But his policies were horrific. I didn't care that he was black, white. I didn't care what he was for his race. That means nothing to me. If he was a conservative and he espoused conservative points of view or things that I agree with, I would think that would be great. Same thing with this Kamala Harris is that she is so far to the left that even if she had a good idea, it's buried in all this other stuff. And then now we're watching her lie. She was absolutely going to get rid of fracking when she was running for president. Now she's, no, we're not against that. She was absolutely, you know, against criminal reform because she's putting everyone in jail. And now, oh no, everyone should get out and she's helping bail people out.
My favorite lie of all time was the Lincoln lie.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there going, as she's saying this, she's calling my president a liar. I mean, there's absolutely no respect on the other side. A liar, a liar, a liar, his truth. I did really love Pence's commentary when he said, you know, you're entitled to your opinion, just not your own facts, right?
Right, absolutely true.
So that was great, and it was really helped with that. But she, you could see that it's all lies because they have to say certain things to get elected. Why is that? Why don't you just tell us what your plans are and then lose? Because we don't want your plans.
Well, because if you want power, and that's not serving the people, you want power. So power, you tell people what they want to hear, they vote for you, and then what do they do? They do, well, the Republicans have done this to us for years. If we just had the Congress, we could make differences. We give them the Congress, oh, we can't do it now, we need the Senate too. Then we give them the Senate, well, we can't do anything now. We need to have the presidency too. We give them that, and what do? Nothing.
Yeah, you're right.
Absolutely nothing. These are politicians that are in it for themselves for the most part.
Right.
There are some good men and women out there, but in general, they're saying what they want. Your point about Kamala saying, you know, Joe is honest and he's transparent and he's true blue and he doesn't lie like Donald Trump. Well, unfortunately, I think Mike Pence missed an opportunity there. He doesn't lie, right? Mm-hmm. So he did plagiarize back in the day. He had to get out of the presidential election for plagiarizing. But here she's saying he doesn't lie and he's transparent. But then you ask both of them, are you going to pack the court? And they won't answer.
Well, that's not a lie, Joe.
But it's not transparent either.
No.
Transparent would be, here's what we're going to do. We are going to pack the court filled with people on the left because we think that's what America wants. And if America heard that and said, yes, we want to go to the left, we want to socialize, we want to do that, that would be something people would vote for.
I mean, and then you would just have to really be afraid of what your neighbors are doing, but you'd be stuck.
Right.
But now I'm saying they're being lied to. Right. And you know who they're lying to? They're lying to the undecided. And this is the thing that bothers me. As I was watching this 90 minutes of my life that I will never get back, I actually had to go under the covers in the bed while you wanted to finish watching. I put the headphones on and I started to listen to anything else but that. Because it was brutal. I'm subjected to this. Why? Because of the undecided. And you... made a point why they were still undecided. You can explain where that came from.
Sure.
But it was based on their feelings. They don't know who makes them feel better. Well, when I heard you say that, I wanted to just smack the undecided upside the head.
Well, and that's really, when experts look at this, they go, we are 20-something days outside of an election. How could anybody, no matter which candidate you favor, how can anybody be undecided at this point? We've had years now of people attacking Trump, saying what they're going to do. Really, they don't tell us everything, but we've listened to them. We've seen their commercials. We've seen all kinds of different information.
47 years with Biden, and we have that.
And you're still undecided. And this expert was saying that, and this was actually, I think Fox News did one of those, actually brought in some people to do to watch the debate and answer questions.
They were real undecided people.
Real undecided. Like a panel. Unlike right. NBC, who had, you know, Biden voters that they were calling undecided. Another right. trick they got caught with. But this was actually a panel of people who really considered themselves undecided. And basically, they don't care about policy. They don't care about the tax returns of the candidates. They don't care about accusations against the candidates. All they care about is how they feel about the candidate. How do I feel about this person being my president? Regardless of their policies, where they would take this country, what they would do to us. And there are about 6 to 8% of the population that's going to vote. They're voters. These undecideds mostly are voters.
And they're making the decision for
us.
So I have to be nice to the feelers. Right? That's what I call them now. I'm going to call the undecided the feelers. I have to be nice to the feelers because they want them to vote for Trump. And I want Trump to look strong, but kind and sweet and loving, right?
Right.
I want him to look the way so that the feelers will like him. So I had this friend on Facebook, and I really rarely go on Facebook, but we had a big harvest party and I wanted to see all the pictures. And I see an acquaintance's friend's post, and she says in her post, I'm going to try to get this right. She says, well, I support my gay friend. Let me just get this for you so I can read it right. I support my gay friend, so I probably should vote for Biden. But I support my son in the military, so I should probably vote for Trump. But wait, I support women. I'm a woman. I support women. I should probably vote for Biden. I support my dad who's a vet. I should probably vote for Trump. Ah, yeah, but I support my daughter who's in education. I should probably vote for Biden. But I have a friend who's homeless. I should probably vote for Biden. And she went on like that, and I'm going, none of that is facts. You're a feeler. You are a feeler.
Right.
What about mm-hmm. the policy you want? What's the vision for the country? What's your vision? What's your idea you want the country to be? Vote for president based on thought, vision, policy, the issues.
And the issue, Kathy, that's exactly the issues. I understand people feel that the Republicans, they've been branded as being an anti-gay group.
Ridiculous.
And they're not.
I know.
Nobody really cares.
I mean, these
love.
Aren't even right talking points. I'm
right.
just saying. Yeah.
But they are their talking points.
Right.
Just like they say the Republicans are big business and they hate, you know, the small part. And absolutely not true. That you see who the Democrat Party is today, and we see that they're mostly huge, big companies. They are out to, you know, take advantage of everything they possibly can. The script has been flipped. But the point is to say, and I think your point to this is that if I want to fix the homeless problem, if I want people to have acceptance in our society, who is the person that's going to open our society up the best so that we're strong, we are united, and we're together? And that's how you make your decision, not based on one individual thing or back and forth argument that is about feelings. Feelings are not going to help us when it comes to this.
So she was trying to check off, well, how many friends and issues do I have more for Biden? How many do I have more for Trump? And she, at the end, she got attacked. And she got attacked from definitely more the left than her friends.
Mm-hmm.
And I saw that. And she said, listen, I'm just trying to make a point. Don't get mad at us who we vote for, because we might have a particular reason. I might be voting for Biden because I have a gay friend who thinks Biden's going to support her and I want to support my gay friend.
Right.
So I said, why isn't life your main reason. If you're looking for a reason to vote, why aren't you voting based on the life of people? I said the leading cause of death in this country is abortion. It's the leading cause of death of human beings in this country is abortion. I don't care what the cancer is. I don't care what the heart disease is. I don't care car accidents or drugs. The leading cause of death is abortion. So if you want to worry about immigration laws, gay rights, you know, taxes, why don't you take care of the people living first? And I heard this great quote, and I used it with her, and I said, pro-life is no more a single issue than slavery was a single issue. When you think about slavery now, we say how egregious that was, and how did we not vote to end slavery, right? Now, we should be saying that same thing for pro-life. But here they are. They have all these mixed up ideas, and it was very frustrating. And like I said, I watched that 90 minutes of that debate. And it's all because of the feelers out there.
And that's absolutely true. And that's, unfortunately, for all of us, and them including, is that because they're going to wait to see how they feel about it. And this is where I know I said I thought Mike Pence missed a couple of opportunities when he could have. But you know what? How hard it is when you really don't have the answers, like other people get the questions ahead of time.
Yeah.
So to come up with it on your feet, I thought he did a very good job. But I thought Kamala missed some opportunities as well. I don't know who coached her, but she was already seen. She got zero votes in the primaries. She dropped out before the first primary happened because she was so unlikable that nobody gave her any support, and she had to jump out. And now she's potentially going to be the president with no one voting for her anywhere except in this election. They're voting for Biden, and she's going to end up being the president. So was she likable?
No.
I didn't find her likable, you know, and I want to like everybody. I heard a woman on another program the other day, and she was saying, I just really want all my candidates to be top-notch, no matter what side they're on, and make their arguments. I said, how wonderful would that be if Biden could come out and say, listen, I am going to raise your taxes, and it's going to be painful, but here's what it's actually going to do. Instead, I'm going to raise your taxes, and you're going to get more jobs, and you're going to get better health care. Did that work the last time?
Mm-hmm. No.
That didn't work the last time. This is all nonsense. So when you see a guy like Trump come out and say, I'm going to cut your taxes like I already did, I'm going to cut them again. What's that going to do to business? That's going to spur business. It's going to put more money in people's pockets. That makes everyone have a better life because now you can take care of your family. You can do things. Raising taxes, raising regulation, that slows things down. That shuts things down.
How do I feel about that? I don't know how I feel about that, Joe.
Well, if I frame it as regulation prevents people from polluting the air and the water and making everyone sick. And then who actually wants to do that? You think the head of this big company, they don't breathe the same air we breathe? No. The air pocket around my mansion will protect me and my grandchildren from the pollution I put out in the world. That is so absurd to think that people want to do that.
I know, but we do need regulations. But to have the rampant that we have, Republicans are against clean environment and Democrats are for it. As if there's either or. It's not like there's issues on both sides.
Right.
Just how do we want to do it? But the feelers are making our decisions.
And that's exactly right. The feelers are out there, ladies and gentlemen. Are you a feeler? Or have you already made up your mind? And it doesn't matter which way you're going to go. If you've made up your mind, it's because you believe one way or another. Well, we're all about to find out what's going to happen in our country. We're all going to wake up on the morning of November 4th. And like I say in the article on AmericaOutLoud.com, we're going to wake up. Hopefully it's with jubilation that the election is over. We have made a decision as an American people and we have a direction. Or we're going to be arming ourselves up and watching the flames burn as the whole country starts to come apart at the seams. But either way, on the morning of November 4th, we will all see our future laid before us. This has been a great conversation, Kathy. We will be back in a minute with more Chasing Justice here on the America Out Loud Radio Network.
Think back to the last time you felt healthy and energized. The best times of our lives occur when we're at the peak of our health, sleeping better, full of energy and focus. We know that fades with age, and you might be feeling the effects of aging as low energy and poor sleep. But it doesn't have to be that way. There haven't been any nutrition systems designed to rejuvenate our bodies as we get older, until now. Healthy Cell Pro is the only multi-nutrient system that impacts the building block of your body, the cell. Created by anti-aging expert and Nobel Prize nominee, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, Award-winning Healthy Cell Pro cuts through the complexity of nutrition supplements by simply giving you the purest ingredients, filling dietary gaps to nourish your cells and enhance your quality of life for optimal performance. Visit HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for an exclusive discount or call 844-869-9958.
All right, America, welcome back to Chasing Justice here on the America Out Loud Radio Network. I'm host Lieutenant Joe Pangaro, and with me is the brilliant Kathleen Pangaro. Hello, how are you?
Hey, Joe.
Thanks for coming back. She was trying to run out of the room. She said she had enough of spending time with me. I said, absolutely not. You're going to come back and you're going to talk to America some more. So one of the things that has come up recently, which the never-ending things that our friends on the left are doing to try and change this election, you know, some would say steal. I'm not going to say steal. That may be their ultimate goal. But they certainly want it to go in their favor. And they're not willing to just let people walk into a ballot box and choose.
Right.
Because that leaves too much to chance for them. And they're unhappy with that. So now we see this mail-in voting where everyone gets a ballot, regardless of whether you ask for it or not. And I have to agree with the people that say the write-in vote, when you request a vote, they determine who you are and they send you a ballot. Now they know whose ballot that went to. Just mailing one to every single person who's on the roster of the voting list, which we know are out of date, have dead people on them, have people who have moved. We know people who moved to Florida. They got New Jersey votes, and they also got votes in Florida because that's where they live down there. So you're going to have such a mishmash of voting across this country that there's going to be fraud. And we know, I think, that's probably the reason behind doing that. I mean, why is it that to get on an airplane, now you need real ID, it's called. If you don't have a real ID from the Department of Homeland Security, you need to have some other document like a passport. You can't use a New Jersey driver's license anymore as of October 1st.
Really?
Yeah, because it's not considered, doesn't have enough of the safety things in there that they want to prove who you are. You have to prove who you are before you get on that airplane. Why? Well, because people have gotten on airplanes with weapons and bombs and killed people. So that makes a good, we want to know who's on that airplane. We want to check you out.
They're also restricting where we go now, even more.
They are, but the point is that they're trying to keep you safe. You get into a driver's license. They test you. You have to carry that with you so it can identify who you are, that you have a registered vehicle, which they make you do every single year. Isn't it already registered? That's another point. You have the vehicle. Now, you have to have your license. But when you go to vote, you don't need anything. You don't have to verify a signature, and a lot of states are doing that. They're getting away from the law that says you got to verify. No verifying signatures. Why would that be? Why would you not want to verify that this is really the person? No. Showing ID? No, that's racist. Because a lot of our minority members in our country, they can't get ID. That, I say, is the most racist thing you could say. What do you mean people can't get ID? They get ID like everybody else. Every person I know, every person of color I know, has identification.
Wait a minute. Why doesn't the governor of that state where they can't get ID help them get ID?
Right.
Like, why doesn't he go in and like have a little mobile truck that goes around? Come on out. We'll ring a bell like the ice cream truck. You'll get a sticker. We want you to have ID.
We have mobile DMV stations that can inspect your car. You couldn't go up to somebody's house, knock on their door with the systems we have and go, Mrs. Jones, I know you can't drive. You have a bad leg. You couldn't get in to get your ID. We're going to help you get a valid ID you're going to use for voting and everything else. I think that's the idea.
Why can't the governor of that state where they think that their minority voters can't get ID, why don't they do that part? Why is it in order for them to fix the problem, the so-called problem, now they have to strip my voting rights and the way that I can say, yes, I voted. Do you know what I mean?
Right.
Like they're changing for me.
It has nothing to do.
It's not really
it's,
real.
It's a racist thing to say that our minority members in our country can't get ID, that they don't have the wherewithal, all the excuses they come up with. They're American citizens. They can handle their lives. That's what you look at that. And for a long time, it's been called the soft side of racism, the low expectations of people. That's absurd. You know, that's absurd to think that about anybody in our country. They can't do it. But what's the reason behind not having identification to prove who you are so that 52 people can vote? That's why.
I could go, theoretically, that day to every polling booth and sign in as somebody different.
Sure.
And who would know?
They're not allowed to ask you.
Right. Oh, they're not.
Not allowed. You know, I've been asked when I walk in, can I see ID? And I say to myself, really, you're going to ask me for ID? I don't think you're allowed to ask me for ID. But if, what do? I produce my driver's license, got my picture on it, because I want to protect my vote. So here's me. Oh, okay, thank you. And now you sign the book and you go vote. There's nothing wrong with that. There's nothing humiliating about that. There's nothing, you know, that puts me down or the government stepping on my neck. They're making sure that they protect my vote. And the fact that we can't do that, there's a motivation behind that. And just like all this mail-in voting where you know there's going to be fraud, we're already seeing it every day. Mailmen dumping mail, people throwing votes, harvesting, where they're taking all these votes from old people, filling them in. This is horrific to our democracy.
Right.
And it's really a problem. But I do find this constant nonsense that our friends on the left are coming up with. And most recently, Nancy Pelosi comes out and says, tomorrow we're going to talk about the 25th Amendment. Come here tomorrow and see what we have to say about... Now, the 25th Amendment is the amendment to the Constitution of the United States that allows for the removal of a president of the United States. And there's certain circumstances under which it might be necessary someday to remove a president. If a president had a horrific accident, but continued to be alive, but they couldn't really perform their duties, they had a brain injury, something happened. Even though they're still alive, they can't perform their duty. You have to remove them. Say a president actually had a late onset psychological problem where they're very dangerous.
Or dementia. I mean, I've known about early dementia.
Right.
I've learned about early onset dementia.
Yes,
right.
About dementia. What if the president is demonstrably having a dementia onset? You may have to remove that president. There's lots of different reasons. And the people that can do it is the president's cabinet can vote to remove the president.
Who's on his cabinet?
Those are the Secretary of Energy, the Secretary of Education, the Secretary of all those people.
These are his friends.
Well, they're people he appointed.
Right, but usually they're his friends.
Correct.
He has the Department of Energy, or the head guy of that is somebody he put there.
Yeah, he put everybody in those positions. They're the guys you see around the big room sitting in the chairs.
Mm-hmm.
And I guess the thinking there is that if these guys and girls who are working with him every day see that there's a problem, they would say, no, there's a problem. We have to, for the good of the country, we have to remove the president. And they would vote for that and you would remove him. Another way, and Nancy Pelosi brought this up, is if there was a law that said the Congress could determine that there's a reason for them to remove the president, they could enact it. And that's what she's trying to do, create this law. And you initially say to yourself, she's creating this law so that they can go after Trump. And she says, no, this is not about Trump. This is about future presidents. So if Trump was reelected, he would be a future president, first of all.
Mm-hmm.
They were already talking about the COVID and the drugs he took for the COVID cure may have affected his mentality. So, you know, they're already concocting some kind of nonsense that they're going to go after there. What I see is that this is an attack on Joe Biden. This is a preemptive attack on Joe Biden. Because they know he does have some kind of a problem. It's clear. You know, even Trump said it the other day. It's not because he's 78, because there's a lot of sharp people in their 70s and 80s. It's that there's obviously some other problems brewing for Mr. Biden. And I think that if they pass this 25th Amendment removal thing by Congress, they can get Joe elected because he's everybody's grandpa. Everybody likes him. People like him. The feelers, Kathy. They like him. He's
feelers.
Nice. Right? He gets elected. And then 2 months later, he starts bumbling and stumbling. You know, the wheels fell off my canoe. And how many dogs can you put in a spaceship? And he starts talking. And they say, it's time for him to go. Kamala Harris, as the vice president, says, I make the motion here that we remove the president. He's got some mental
problems. But we already have the law.
Well, this is a new part of the law. The Congress can start it, and the vice president then jumps in and agrees. And then out goes Joe Biden, and guess who becomes president? The most liberal member of the Senate, Kamala Harris. So, Kathy, what's the chances that our political class of people would use the power of government to undermine your vote or everyone's vote? What do you think is the chances of that happening? Has it ever happened recently? Has there been a coup d'etat against a guy, spying on him, faking up warrants, lying about him? That happened before?
That sounds familiar.
Yeah, something like that happened recently. You know these people absolutely will do it. They're coming out now openly and saying they're going to stop Amy Coney Barrett. Chuck Schumer came out and said, we will use everything at our disposal to stop this nomination. Not, we have a nominee here. Let's question her and see about her judicial temperament. Let's see how she performs under stress. Let's see if we can understand her philosophy. No, we're going to use everything we can to stop her. So they're cooking up the 25th Amendment to get rid of Joe Biden right in front of everybody's eyes. and they're going to stop Amy Coney Barrett. Now, we've talked about her a little bit. We find her to be, she seems to be a brilliant woman. You know, all these people that are worried about women and the glass ceiling. Here's busting the glass ceiling, all right? Only the third woman to sit on the Supreme Court of the United States. And who's supporting her? Republicans. Republicans and conservatives are supporting her.
So therefore, she's not good.
Right, so but who's tearing her down? The people who just want to see women advance at all... Right. See, that's why it's all nonsense. That's why people are frustrated.
But this is what is so frustrating for me, because the feelers can't see the absolute hypocrisy in all these statements, right? The feelers. They just don't see it. Now, I did realize what I did. I said the feelers, and we're going for Joe Biden. Let's not go there.
You know? Oh, yeah, well, he does have feelers out for a lot of people. You know, that's an unfortunate thing, too. I mean, how do you look at this poor guy? And do I think they call a pedophile? I don't think he's a pedophile. I think
he's creepy.
It is creepy. I think he's a hands-on kind of guy that meets people. He's very, you know, he's very tactile. He touches people. But after the first 10 or 11 times people tell you, you really shouldn't touch that 9-year-old girl like that, put your arm around her, kiss her, hug, shouldn't do it. That should probably be the last time you ever do that.
Unless you have a problem, then you keep doing it.
Then you keep
doing
it.
But I think I see how the left is trying to pull her down just because the dogma lives strong inside her. If she was a Catholic like Biden, or, you know, as Kamala said during the debate, which I loved, we are people of faith. What kind of faith?
Right. What faith?
Like, I mean, what kind, you just, the stuff you make up on your own that looks good on paper to get you elected into, but you have absolutely no moral standing. You have no belief system. When you can kill a baby as it's being born out of a mother, you have no, when you say that you're going to, you know, you're lying about the fracking, you're going to kill all those jobs. You haven't. Where's your integrity? Where's your morality?
Mm-hmm.
So they say that, but the dogma in this woman, it lives strong, and right. We're afraid of that.
Right, and that's specifically, you should not go after anyone's religious belief. Now, obviously, their concern is that her religious belief informs her that abortion is wrong,
mm-hmm. And
therefore, when she has a chance to vote, she will vote against Roe v. Wade and knock it down. The reality of that, what people don't understand is the reality of that, and I think I've talked about this before, is that it would send it back to the states. And then the states would have to make a decision on whether or not they want to allow abortion in their state. It's not a federal law, then it's not a constitutionally protected law. It's a law in your state. And if your state votes for abortion, then that's what your state votes for. So if you think your state is a problem with allowing abortion, well, then you move to another state where they allow it, and you have all the abortion you want. And you can go to church every Sunday, and you can commune with God, and come out and say how good God is with you doing all of that. That's up to you. Who am I to say what somebody does? They have to talk to their God at their own time. But you're right. These people say, you know, they're people of faith. And which faith exactly is that? I mean, if you're going to say you're a Catholic, well, then there is a specific Catholic faith.
I know, but there's a smorgasbord Catholics. I pick and choose the things that I feel like following. So the dogma lives in Amy because she seems to not be one of those smorgasbord Catholics, right?
Right.
They go to the buffet and they pick, oh, I'm this and I'm this, but I'm not that and I don't want any of that, you know? Well, that's what Joe Biden is. He's not an example of a Catholic. He's mm-hmm. a smorgasbord Catholic.
Sure, and, right? And that actually harkens back to a day in our country, not so very long ago, but far enough back now, where, you know, religious underpinning was an important character trait of your leaders. So your president would be seen going to church every Sunday. They would go to, they had their local church, wherever they went to church. They would speak about their religious belief, and you would believe that they gave them backbone, that gave them conviction, that gave them decency. We don't really think about that anymore. I mean, religion has been knocked down in our country where, oh, it's Catholic, it's nice that you have those, you know, those nice beliefs, but, you know, there really is no God, right? You know, there's no God.
It's science. Right. It's science.
There's no guy up there in the clouds with a white beard.
Kamala kept bringing it up. Yeah, Kamala kept bringing it up. We got science on our side. How is that?
Right. Even, we can jump all around. That's what I like about talking with you. Even the moderator in that Susan woman, who knew that Chris Wallace got beat up, so she's going to do the right thing. Climate change, which scientists now say is real. Wait a minute. No, some scientists have said that. Not every scientist. And there's no proof. It's actually, well, for a long time, it was what? Global. When we were young, in the 70s. Well, you were younger than me. In the 70s, it was global ice age was coming. The next ice age, we're going to freeze to death because of what we're doing, right? Because of the carbon in the air and all that. Then no, actually it's global warming when it stopped getting colder. Then it started. Now it hasn't been an increase in global warming in over 20 years. Now it's climate change. And the science says that it's real. Science says a lot of things that are real that our friends on the left don't want to listen to if it doesn't fit their thought patterns.
I know, but see, now the feelers hear this and they go, but I care about climate change. I really do. How are you going to handle the climate change?
Well, because they're so scared to death, just like the pandemic people
have
been so scared to death that they want to be comforted. I had a thought the other day. I forget where I was going. But I walked into a store and there was a guy there and everybody in the store, it was like a gas station attendant place getting some propane for the grill. And everybody there, there's about 6 or 7 of us standing there waiting to pay for what we're doing. And one guy comes in and he's getting online. He has no mask on.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at that guy and I'm like, well, first of all, good for him that he doesn't feel like wearing a mask that he is. But at the same time, I'm going, but I hope he doesn't give anybody COVID in here, right? Because... We still don't have really facts about, is it airborne 1 week, it's airborne, next week it crawls up your leg, the third week somebody has to give it to you in a needle. How the hell do you get this disease? But I'm looking at this guy who's just standing there, and nobody said anything to him. No Karens jumped out and said, put your mask on! Even the girl on the counter didn't care. But everybody had a mask on. And I'm saying, I wonder what it's going to be like when we finally all get a chance to take this mask off. Are we going to look suspiciously at everybody when we walk in? Is the COVID crawling on that one over there? Can I see it over there? Because it's going to be, even though, you know, we're trying to do the right thing here and be smart, there's still this feeling that they've pounded into us from hearing it every day that
the
it's going to get you.
The feelers.
So the feelers have to feel comfortable. And that's where they scream at people and yell at people. Well, it's the exact same thing with the court. You know, what are you going to do? Is it going to be fair? Is it going to ruin my life? You know, it's unbelievable, the feelers, you know. So that was a good point that you brought up. I like that. But the Democrats are really doing a lot of things to twist this around. The 25th Amendment. They're going after you, Joe Biden. Don't you get it? Now, I know you cracked the whip. You're really smart. You're really a brilliant guy, and you have no problems. They're coming after you. Don't you see this? They're going to throw you out as soon as they get a chance, if they get this law.
Maybe they need it because there won't be a cabinet at the time when they remove him. So there'll be no cabinet to remove, right?
It's really a crazy thing.
To remove him.
And, you know, we're seeing now that the hearings have started with Amy Coney Barrett. And, you know, Lindsey Graham, there's actually a great show out there about the Kavanaugh nonsense. Mm. And while we lived through it, we watched it periodically. We were working. We weren't watching all day long like some people were lucky enough to do. But when they go back and they show you in this special, and again, I think it was Fox Nation or one of those programs you can watch, where they went through day by day the things that were said about this guy, the strategies that were behind it, how the stories popped up, and how he was really enraged that these things were said about him and his family. It was horrifying. So Lindsey Graham, he was part of this program, and he said he saw how crazy this was going. That he says to the leader of the committee, you have got to give me some time when we come back on. I have to say something. And that's when Lindsey actually changed from previous Lindsey to the Lindsey Graham we see today. When he stood up and said, this is the most absurd thing I have ever seen in my history in politics. This is ugly. This is terrible. This is not about the concert. It was beautiful what he said. He actually put himself in a beautiful position by doing that. Well, he came out this time and he says, I hope they're going to be civil. I hope our friends on the left are going to do the right thing and ask questions and not try and crucify this woman over her religion. And we're starting to see it's not going to be that nice. Not only are they going to look for the 25th Amendment, not are they going to look with a fake coup d'etat against the president. Now they're looking to use the rules of the House. The Democrats said maybe the Senate Democrats won't show up on the committee. So there's no quorum, so you can't push it out of committee so it can be voted on. Maybe they just won't show up.
Mm.
You know, we're just not going to show up, and therefore you can't have a quorum, you can't put her out onto the floor, and guess what? You don't vote on her before the election's over.
I know, but Trump has got to come up with something for that. He's going to say, okay, I'm going to put a freeze on all your salaries or something. I don't know. You know, he's pretty clever.
I don't know what he's going to do, but ladies and gentlemen, we're going to think about that as we go forward. This is Lieutenant Joe for Chasing Justice.
Whoa. for the war on America's cities and claims of racism in the ranks of law enforcement have spirited a renewed debate on racial equality. It was Alexis de Tocqueville who reminded us Americans are so enamored of equality. They would rather be equal in slavery than unequal in freedom. To which I say, be warned of the shiny object, America. AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. Well, it's a fight for the soul of humanity.
All right, all right, all right. Welcome back to Chasing Justice here on the America Out Loud Radio Network. Lieutenant Joe Pangaro here with the lovely Miss Kathy. So, Kathy, as we're going forward here, I think we covered a lot of the topics that I wanted to get into. We're seeing the COVID thing continue on, but before I get to that, I really want to tell you about when we were talking about Kamala and being able to tell the truth. And it was interesting that you noticed, you know, you saw things about her. You could see when she was starting to be deceptive and she was starting to lie. You physically saw it. And even though you may not have the training to pick it out directly, you were uncomfortable with it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So my training and my experience has taught me how to do that, which leads me to the book I just wrote.
Oh, yes, the book.
The book I just wrote.
We're so excited about your book. It's really great.
It really was exciting around here. The publisher called and said, hey, your book, The Interview, which is about interview techniques for all of law enforcement, police, corrections, school investigators, anyone who has to ask questions. So it's available from looseleaflaw.com. You go there and you put Pangaro in the search bar. If it doesn't pop right up, because I think I'm on the new releases right on the front page. And you can certainly get a copy of the book for the law enforcement officer in your life, or even for yourself if you want to be really good at what you do.
And your son Joseph, who is a trial attorney, does depositions and everything. He's read the book and he said he found so many pointers even in his line of work.
Yes,
right?
Which I never even thought of that, but they ask questions, don't they?
Yeah.
So if you ask questions or somebody in your life has to ask questions, you really want to read this book. And here's the best part of it all. You know, it was fun to write. I was glad I got it out there. It's kind of like closing a circle for everyone who trained me. I wanted to give back to my profession that I love. But I reached out, you know, Lieutenant Randy Sutton, who's here on AmericaOutloud.com. Lieutenant Randy has an organization he started called the Wounded Blue. And this is an organization that provides monetary assistance and support for officers in the United States that are injured in the line of duty. So I said, how can I do something to help what Randy's doing because of my brother and sister cops out there? I got lucky. I got through my career without a serious injury. You know, I mean, yeah. I got through that 27 years and I didn't get killed. And thank goodness I didn't have to kill nobody else. But when I look back now, how many people did get injured, you know, seriously injured, and are still getting injured, especially now, every day. So the publisher from Loose Leaf Law, they did a great thing. They said, listen, if you put a code, and here's the code, get ready, PTG, Pangaro Training Guide, WB10. So it's PTGWB for the Wounded Blue, 10. When you put that in at purchase, they're going to send a dollar of every single book to Randy's organization. Now, I know I've been on a couple of different law enforcement shows where I've talked about this, and cops, first of all, they want the information, but they really want to help our injured police officers across the country. So this is something you say, what can I do? Get this book for somebody that you love that needs to learn how to interview, and then some of that money will go towards helping the Wounded Blue. So I just want to pass that. PTGWB10 is the code. At looseleaflaw.com, The Interview.
Could you make it any more complicated of a code?
Well, I would have made it simple. You know, give Randy some money to help out the cops, but they wouldn't let me do that.
I want to say this, too, because I've read the book. We had a lot of comments from people who've read the book. And boy, oh boy, are they enjoying the stories in this book. You write just the way you teach and the way you talk here. And you give these great stories. And you have a lot of cop stuff back and forth. And, well, I think even if a cop or the cop in your life doesn't feel like they're going to have to sit down and do an interrogation, right? They're going to benefit from this because they'll learn how to use the interview just in their daily beat cop work, you know?
Car stops. You know, we right. do a whole class on street interview, which is basically a boiled down version of the 2-day class that we do for interview interrogation for street cops. You know, you stop in a car, you're stopping a suspicious person, you're you know, my who else is Anthony Ganji is an expert in the world of corrections. And Anthony read the book and gave me a really nice quote. Anthony says, every single corrections officer needs this because what do they do? All they do, everything they do all day long is an interview with all the inmates. Every single thing all day long is a conversation. Who did what? Where is it? Who did where? What's going on? They need this information. So, Kathy, thank you for saying that. I don't want to spend all day on this. But this is an important thing to help the Wounded Blue. And, you know, listen to Randy's show. He's on every day at 4 p.m. He follows me. So we're kind of like a tag team to begin with. So help the Wounded Blue. Get the book and help somebody. So let's look at the COVID situation. Because we started out months ago. I had you on a couple of times and we were in lockdown. Remember how it started? Mm-hmm. It was weird. It was a kind of a strange thing. But we were doing, you know, a fire in the backyard. And we're having a cocktail. And we made some funny videos. And we thought it was going to be 2 weeks. Now it's stretching into the months, and we're now hearing it's not to flatten the curve and protect our hospitals from overloading. Now it's we can't get back together till the virus is gone. Well, is the flu virus gone? Is the measles gone? Are any of these things gone? It's never going to be gone. So again, we have to look and say, why would somebody want to control us that much and keep us on the hook that we have to stay locked down, our businesses are ruined? New York, they're shutting stuff down again because they're having some clusters. Instead of dealing with the clusters, they're shutting things down all over.
And just let the virus go and take its course. You know, I'm not saying that we have to let it go and take its course, kill billions of people.
Right.
But I'm just saying, just because people have it doesn't mean they can't be treated for it. Our president just got over it and he was able to be treated for it. Just because you get it, it's not a death sentence.
Right. And that's the concern, that people die. Not that you get it, because you get the flu. You get the flu and you feel miserable for 2 weeks and then you get over it.
Wait. I had somebody say to us, well, there are lifelong repercussions now. People are concerned about that. You could get over it, but you might have lifelong repercussions. Well, and I'm like, nobody's had a lifetime. We've just had this virus for 6 months. How could we have that analogy? But it's the feeler, see?
Right, absolutely.
And the feelers are sitting there scared to death. And whatever happens with COVID is really about our president. And that's what's going to matter, what president we have, how we come out of this.
Right.
I don't think Trump and Pence are winning the COVID debate.
Mm-hmm. And that's what a majority of people, you know, when you look at the polls, you know, they're faked up how they ask them because they want to make news with them. But when you see a number like 40%, 40% is a huge number to say that Biden would handle the pandemic better than Trump and Pence. That's a communication message.
Yeah, I think, well, I think what it was when I heard it was 44% don't think the president is handling the COVID, the pandemic. Well, and I'm saying, you know what? What was exactly the question? Because if they had called me, I would have said, I don't think he's handling it well either. I didn't want to be shut down. I think he shut us down too soon. He did too much. You know, like I...
Right.
You know,
and
I had...
It's how you ask the question.
Right.
They don't say, do you think what the president did medically to foster us getting through this was, did he do that well or not well?
I would have said, great, yeah.
He did that great.
Yeah.
But overall, you don't like the lockdown. So you say, I don't like the way he handled it. He locked us down.
I don't like our friends' businesses closing. I don't like our kids not in school. I don't like that we can't have a wedding and get together. I don't like that I can't see my own family whenever I want unless I get my own stupid COVID test. You know, I don't like the whole thing. No, I don't like how it's being handled. But I don't know what they asked.
Right.
So 44% of the people may not like how the president's handling it. But that's because they may not like, they think he's done too much.
Right. Now, let's look at this guy, the president, President Trump. Here he is. He's 74.
Mm-hmm.
He's also overweight.
He's a rock star, though.
So he's got a comorbidity of obesity.
Mm-hmm.
And he got this, and he tells us now, boy, I was really not feeling well. I went to the hospital. And, of course, they gave him everything that you're going to give somebody because he's the president of the United States. And he was back on his feet in 2 or 3 days. And he's back on the trail now because he's no longer shedding virus. He's healthy as a horse. He says he never felt better. Isn't he an example to everybody that you don't have to die from this virus? It's not a death sentence. If you're older and you have these other problems, yeah, you could die. Well, the flu is going to kill 60,000 people this coming up winter. And for the exact same people, because they have comorbidities, they have other underlying conditions, and the flu just kills you. Well, so does COVID. So your point, do we allow the virus, do we go back to the world, take precautions that you want to take, but go back to the world, and the virus will what, be overcome?
It'll
is that the idea?
Course.
It'll take its course.
We'll have to figure it out. You can get treated. But my real issue is that Trump and Pence, I really feel, because that's who I'm voting for, that's who I want, are not really articulating their good response. Now, I did like how Trump handled it in his debate, and I liked how Pence handled it, but I didn't think it was enough. They said, well, Biden wouldn't have shut us down soon enough. The only response to this COVID pandemic was not just the shutdown. They did a lot of other positive things.
Correct.
Right. So they needed to play that up. He also has to say he left it to the governors. If you don't like how it's going in your state, look to your governor. Mm-hmm. It's all I did was, as a president, all I could do was shut down the country and provide beds and ventilators.
And even in the beginning, do you remember when he said he wanted to shut things down? And all these governors said, we make those decisions. You don't make those decisions. Trump will decide what to do. Then it turns out, gee, he did the right thing.
Yeah.
And now they all want to say, well, Trump ruined the economy. No, no, wait a second, governor. You're the one who shut your state down. You're the one who's refusing to let your state open up. You're the one who's restricting everything, causing these businesses
to go
out.
You're the one that killed the people in the nursing homes.
You're the one that put them in the nursing homes. Trump didn't do any of that. And that's where a clear argument could be, whether you like the guy or not. You got to look at facts.
I know, but the feelers just hear that. So I'm worried that, I really hope that in the next 20-something days or whatever it is, you know, in the last few weeks of this election, the feelers can feel better about how Trump is doing.
Sure.
With the COVID situation. Because they're scared. And I'm telling you right now, people are scared. And if this is going to be a big issue for them, we want them to know that Trump is handling it. Right. Mm-hmm. Now, I think the law enforcement thing that making the feelers scared. So they're going to go for Trump because they're worried about, you know, the rule of law.
But you notice the daily news reports of all this rioting has dropped off, even though there's rioting all the time. They really stopped reporting.
Yeah, I know. I'm saying, is it getting safer or we just not know about it? But so that it is. But they listen to this stuff 24/7.
Mm-hmm.
And of course they're afraid to leave their homes. And of course they're afraid to get together with people. And they don't want to go see grandma. And they're waving to grandma outside the house, outside the window, waving. I mean, this is just bizarre. So it's the feelers, again, the feelers. And the feelers. Pullbackers. The pullbackers.
The pullbackers are pretty funny. You ever see that when you go somewhere and somebody sees you, even if you both have masks on, you open the door to the store and they pull back, they reel, they recoil, that COVID's going to jump off you and go right up their nose and get them. It's amazing. We call them the pullbackers because,
I just want to go, wah, I'm going to get you, you know, like when they see them. But, you know, you see the pullbackers. Now, the pullbackers are probably very, they're definitely liberals. They're the pullbackers. They're definitely liberals. Right, but the feelers are those are the undecided,
and they could go either way. And in elections, they have gone. However, they felt great about Ronald Reagan because he brought back. I mean, we felt all bad after Jimmy Carter. I mean, God bless him. What Jimmy Carter put this country through with his policies wrecked the economy, wrecked our military, and here comes Reagan. Well, the shining city on a hill. America's best days are tomorrow. Or the sunshine in America. I mean, how could you not want that after living through the hell we lived through? And for those of you who don't remember it, it was not good. And I was a young person then, and it still wasn't good. But now we have Trump. They say he does all these horrible things. But when you actually listen to the guy, he talks about he wants to take care of everyone. He wants to love everyone. He wants everyone to be in peace. He wants everyone to do well. Where is all this hatred? Which brings us back to segment one, Kathy, about, Kamala Harris saying, you know, Joe is transparent and Joe doesn't lie. Well, what about the lies that they keep telling about the Charlottesville incident? I mean, when they keep saying people were pitchforks and they were coming out and Trump said they were good people. This has now been proven to be an absolute lie that even that Susan, who was the moderator of the vice presidential debate, she knew that it was a lie.
And she didn't say anything.
She didn't stop in and go, listen, Senator Harris, I have to tell you, this has been repeated over and over, but there's videotape, there's audio tape of the president saying he did not mean the Ku Klux Klan and the white skinheads and all these other nuts. He said they should be condemned completely. How come none of those people ever say that? How come they never bring that up? Because it's a reason. I saw a thing the other day. Who's Jim Acosta, that reporter who's always CNN, always going after Trump? And somebody showed two of his tweets separated by a couple of years. One was in 2017 when he says Trump just denounced skinheads and white supremacists and the Ku Klux Klan. And then here it is in 20. He goes, still, the president has never condemned. It was on his own tweets. He did it 3 years ago. He said the president said it. Anybody that believes that Trump is actually a white supremacist and wants the white race to take over the world and get rid of all the minority is out of their minds. What? Where are you living to believe those things about the guy?
I know people who believe it. I don't want to be their friends. I just want to scream. It makes my head want to blow up. You know that little Facebook thing where you
sure. can have your emoji? The emoji.
Yeah, I want my head to blow off because it's ridiculous.
And I'll tell you, if Trump believed those things, if I thought that's what he really believed, I would not support him.
Why do they think we would support him? Exactly right. My point.
I wouldn't support somebody who's a racist, somebody who wants to, you know, hurt minorities. They're American citizens. They're our brothers and sisters. So to think, sit there and say, well, if you vote for Trump, you must be a racist. No, Trump's not a racist.
I hate when they say that. I hate when they say, you're this, you're that, because you vote for Trump. Wait, why don't you see what I am and then say, why would a person of my caliber vote for someone like that? Right. Do you know what I mean?
And who is that aimed at, Kathy? The feelers, because they make enough of a nasty message to believe, well, everyone must think it must be true. Like, I never heard him say it, which I like when these different shows, you see them go to the college kids and they say, I'm going to read something to you by President Trump. And they say something and it sounds kind of, you know, pretty bad. And they'll go, what do you think of that? And they're like, that's horrible. Oh, hang on, wait a minute. It's not Trump. Actually, President Obama said that. And they look at him dumbfounded. Obama said that? Yeah, how about this one? Let me read this to you. And another one, equally horrible, and they'll go, oh, Trump is bad. See, that proves how bad he is. I know, oh, wait a minute. That was Hillary Clinton who said that, not Trump. And people are just shocked. They're dumbfounded. If you actually listen to the man, and I'm not telling you which way to vote, you vote however you want. You do whatever you're going to do. You do whatever you want to do. Everyone has an individual right to choose their own path.
Agreed.
But the reality is, actually listen to what these people are saying to you. Listen to what Joe Biden's going to do to you. Listen to what Trump's going to do to you. Who's going to cut your taxes? What is better? Who's going to make your military strong? Which is better? Who's going to support the police? Which one is better? Right? These are the things we have to think about.
Yeah, and I want to say that. Think about it. Don't just feel it. Get yourself a vision for this country and see who's going to have that vision. Get an issue. An issue that's important to you. It may not be pro-life. Maybe it is immigration. I don't know. Whatever issue that you want to be most informed about, see which one meets your perspective.
Correct.
What do you want? Let's not be so weak as go along with how do we feel about this? How do you feel? I just ran over your dog. How do you feel about that? Okay, well, I feel really badly about that. Well, what do you think about, this thing? Well, I feel bad about that. No, there's two separate things. You're going to feel bad about a dog, right? You don't want to feel about your country.
Kathy, your point is well taken, and I'm so glad you came on with me today, because you and I sit around our coffee in the morning and our cocktails in the afternoon, and we talk through all the problems of the world, and we solve them all, and I wanted to bring your voice here to the people on Chasing Justice and to the America Out Loud crowd. So, hey, everybody, listen. Be a part of the solution, not a part of the problem. And I think our message today is think. Don't just feel. Think about things. We'll see you the next time.